Perhaps we at this time in our conversation, but in the little way, we were talking, you recall, about little things here in the darkened church. Custom started many years ago, I think, from some missionaries used to give the important mission sermons in parish. Anyway, we were in the dark, talking about little things, and my light bulb burned out. Little thing, big darkness. I thought to myself, good thing I looked over my notes a little bit beforehand, or we would both of us have plunged in the darkness. Tonight, in the dark, for the last of our nighttime sermons, a beautiful Lenten Friday continues the recollection, a wonderful tradition at our church. Tonight I want to talk to you about the last days of the Little Hour, and specifically about St. Teresa and the dark. The Little Hour, like many children, didn't like the dark. Perhaps that was because of what happened at Easter, the last Easter of her life. She recalls Paschal time, when all was light, our Lord allowed my soul to be plunged into the thickest pain. One who must have passed through this tunnel. Remember when we were saying in Mass how difficult it is to give comfort to another in an hour of sorrow, because you really don't know what that other person is suffering. One must have passed, she wrote, through this tunnel to understand how thick was its darkness, the fog which finds its way into my very soul. St. Teresa didn't like the dark. In July, a few months before her death, she and the sisters got talking one day in the refectory about her own death and our mother of sorrows. They say that really the last months of her life, her lady was never on her thoughts. The Blessed Virgin, she said, held the dead body of her son in her arms, disfigured and bloodstained. But at least you will not see me like that. I do not know how she did it. I wonder if they brought me to you in that state, what you would do. And then one of the sisters, they had a big preoccupation about how she was going to die. They wanted to die sort of a picture book, almost a story book. Death of a saint. And so one of the sisters expressed the prayer that she would just die during the night. And she replied, I shall not die during the night. I have had the wish not to die during the night, and I have asked that of the Blessed Virgin, and she will be granted to her. I find it interesting that St. Teresa, in her simplicity, doesn't bother with the formulation that we often encounter to use. We would say, in an apologetic sense, to explain, apologetic to defend our path of faith. We would say, well, no, all the prayers that we get to Mary, they really just go to God. But St. Teresa makes an interesting distinction here. She says, I don't pray to God. I pray to Mary. Interesting. To ask the Blessed Virgin is not the same thing as to ask that God, she wrote. She, Mary, knows well what to do with my little wishes. She will decide whether to ask for them or not. After all, it's for her to decide, so as not to force God to hear me, but to leave all to his will. She showed such a reliance upon Our Lady's all-powerful supplication upon her divine motherhood that she said, I very often ask the Blessed Virgin to tell God that he must not bother himself on my account, and that she will look after my little jobs for me. Isn't that a beautiful childlike spirit of devotion for me and of trust in her in the duty of God's plan? It's a great example and practice of a true devotion as taught by St. Louis de Montfort. And so she asks Our Lady not to be too tired towards the end, more than once, because she realized that when she was suffering physically, that upset her sisters, and then the sisters who were taking care of her, and the infirmary and all, the common God and all, and she just didn't want trouble. She went so far as to say, I asked Our Lady to give me a beautiful death so as to give you pleasure and wonder that I am here to say, Our Lady, after having received the sacraments most devoutly. But at the same time, St. Teresa says, I told the Blessed Mother, please give me this to make me happy. But if you do not answer my prayer, I will love you all the more for it. What a beautiful, simple, and so confident submission to God's will through our Blessed Mother. When she entered the infirmary to die, she regretted not having been able to die in her own monastic cell because she had spent so much time there and suffered there so very much. When she entered the infirmary, she saw one of the sisters of her statue, the statue that had come to life, Our Lady of the Smile, in her when she was a girl. She put it on the table next to her bed. And she said, never had she, Our Lady, appeared so beautiful to me. But then she told her sister, Marie, who was there when she, as a girl, had been healed. But today, it's just a statue. Before, as you well know, it wasn't the statue. In keeping with the desire that she had, she received her last Holy Communion on the feast day of St. Teresa, the 19th of August. The sisters wanted her to be able to receive after that, but she was too weak, too exhausted, and too much pain to be able to do so. So she made that sacrifice. She made able to receive communion in the last month of her life. In her last communion, she offered up her apostate priest, Father Hyacinth, who was a famous Dominican preacher and who became a modernist and an apostate of the church and started his own religion. She offered her last communion, which happened a lot of pain, for the conversion of that priest. Pray very much, she said, after she made that communion, she told me to marry. Pray very much to the Blessed Virgin for me, for if you were sick, I should pray very much for you. When it is for oneself, one is not very bold. Actually, boldness or a certain audacity is one of the great characteristics of St. Teresa. So it's interesting that she says, now I'm calling on you to pray for me, because I don't dare so much, but usually St. Teresa would dare almost everything with that simple and childlike spirit. And she needed prayers. She needed prayers because of all that she was suffering. If only you knew what this trial was like, she said. Last night, being unable to do more, I asked the Blessed Virgin just to take my head in her hands so that I might be able to bear it. And when I cannot pray, I can only look at the Blessed Virgin and say, Jesus. That, of course, is the perfection of prayer itself. When she woke up on the morning of the day of her death, the 30th of September, seeing Our Lady there next to her bedside, she said, oh, what fervor I had prayed to her, that it was pure agony without any consolation. Earth's air is failing me. When shall I breathe the air of heaven? And an hour or two before her death, the mother presented me very soon to the Blessed Virgin, prepare me to die now. At 6 o'clock, the bell rang, the angelus, and again then we should look at our lady, and indeed our lady with a smile, a very beautiful smile of her own. One author says perhaps she was remembering